here is the clown song that you hear. Yeah. Seven days blue, seven times. Half the lads are pretty in a line. Bring out these clowns.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vosken. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosken provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and, of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Ring out those solstice.
Hey, this is Father Vosken, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 237, the winter solstice, or depending on where you are on this planet, maybe the summer solstice edition of The Next Step. This is a podcast that looks at the very fabric of our being, looks at life through the ancient lenses of Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call that polished look Armadoxy. We're inviting you to take a next step with us right now. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net. That's apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Well, it's great to have you with us today. I hope you're comfortable as you're listening to this show today. This is the winter solstice here in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, I've got to qualify that. It is also the summer solstice for all of you in the Southern Hemisphere. And I've got to say that we're getting more and more Southerners. You Southerners out there. I want to do a big shout out for a good friend, a dear friend. And I feel like a brother in Christ in this mission for our dear friend Apgar, who's just been getting all kinds of people to listen to us throughout the world. So thank you so much. And I appreciate all of the email. I'm humbled by some of your opinions and your thoughts. Thank you so much for sharing those with me. If I don't get back to you in a timely manner, please be forgiving. This is part of our ministry, absolutely an important part of our ministry. But there is another ministry that's out there, and that's especially heightened at this time of year with the Christmas and New Year's, and especially with double Christmas. Yeah, we Armenians get to celebrate a double Christmas. And that actually has to do, right, with the solstice. Of course, the solstice, it's an astronomical phenomena. Did I say that right, huh? An astronomical phenomena. Now, do you understand why at the beginning when we used to say apostle, okay, the idea was to have apostle with an E. So, apostolic evangelism for an electronic world, universe, whatever you want to say. But then we realize that it is an expanding universe, an expansion of ideas and moving around. And we made that little E mean more than electronic, but expanding. And we didn't really limit it to the world itself, but to the universe. And rightly so, because as we started, what was it, been 4.5, 5 years ago when we started Next Step, there was always this preoccupation with how the universe really moves and everything. And certainly one of the big features of it, one of the exciting features, is this day. This day, I know the Mayans are ending their calendar tomorrow. I think it's, right, 12:21. And I believe some of you who are listening to the show, it's already 12:21. So if you are existing and listening to the show, hey, congratulations, we made it. Anyway, I know the calendar's ending. But this feast is an important one, the winter solstice in Christian life. And of course, the reference that I'm making is about Christmas. Now, before I go into this, let me tell you that upcoming, I've got a great program for you today. We're going to be sharing some ideas about what happened. You know, right after we published last week's show, we had that incredibly tragic situation in Connecticut, one of the states in the United States, where 20 young children, innocent children, were shot down by a gunman. And you have to wonder, you know, like in this sophisticated society that we talk about, you know, how could these things happen? So I want to share that with you in a few minutes. We're going to be talking a little bit about that. And I know it's on all of our minds. Last Sunday in church, we had just phenomenal attendance, and I think it was just partly, maybe all of it, I don't know, partly because of what had happened, this shooting, and just on everyone's mind, like, how can these tragic situations take place? So that's coming up right after the song today. But I did want to share with you some ideas about the solstice, because it is important that we reference it this way. The winter solstice in the northern hemisphere signals the birth of the sun, S-U-N. In other words, the days start getting longer every day, beginning December 21st this year. And this was a feast in old times. People would celebrate the birth of the sun. Of course, everything connected to that life. The sun gives you life. You don't have the sun, you don't have life. You don't have heat. You don't have the ultraviolets that clean up a lot of the germs that we see in our lives. Of course, you die. You don't have the heat. You don't have the light. Life cannot exist without that sun. I'm not talking about vitamin D only. I'm talking about the essence of life. Well, the early civilizations would celebrate this feast, as people were figuring out the patterns in the sky. They'd look up and they'd see that, hey, you know, the days are starting to get longer. And certainly this is a celebration, a newness in our lives. So along comes the birth of Christ. And in the Roman Empire, this feast of Saturnalia, the feast of the sun, was a big deal this time of year. And the emperor at that time, Constantine, said, hey, we got to get Christianity on the books, on the calendar. And so now listen to this. The early date on which Jesus' birth, his nativity, was celebrated was on January 6th. And it wasn't only a birthday celebration. It wasn't only a nativity celebration. They would celebrate all the events between the time of his birth all the way to his baptism. And they would celebrate the baptism of Christ on that day too. Well, why? Well, of course, his ministry is born on that day, right? It is at the River Jordan that he ascends from the water, and it is there that that we hear the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit descends. And what's happening at that one little point in history? The Holy Trinity is being revealed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is being revealed. The revelation of God. Theophany. That's what that word theophany means. Theo means God, right? Epiphany, the revelation of God. And in Armenian, we don't refer to Christmas as, well, Christmas as Zanunt. We refer to it as Astvadza Haidnutyun. Well, I know. Don't blame me, okay? I know. There's a lot of syllables. I know it's a difficult word. But it is a compound word. Astvadz is God. Haidnutyun is the revelation of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, January 6th. And traditionally, this is the date that people would celebrate. Well, what happened in the Roman Empire? They were celebrating the Feast of the Sun, S-U-N, and they said, holy moly. I don't know if he said holy moly, but the emperor at the time, he said, wait, there's a way of getting the people to forget about this feast of the birth of the sun, namely the winter solstice. Let's bring in the birth of the sun, S-O-N. And so the date for Christmas was changed from January 6th to December 25th. Now, not only that, but there was also this 12-day period between the two events, and of course, that's the 12 days of Christmas. But it would take 12 days for the pilgrims to walk from Bethlehem, where they would go and assemble for the birth of Christ, to the River Jordan, where they would go and celebrate his baptism. And during that 12-day period, pilgrims would walk from one place to another. Of course, there was no light rail, there was no mass communications, there was no mass transit. Somehow they had to walk there and they'd make their pilgrimage. So it became convenient, and the change of days. Now, there's a small little group of people who were like hard-nosed about their faith, and they still are. I want to believe we still are. The Armenian Church exists kind of like in a pocket. They weren't part of the Roman Empire, and though there was communications, there was no necessity to change the date, because there were definitely heathens, there were definitely non-believers in Armenia at the time, but they weren't celebrating this particular feast. Or even if they were, there was no necessity to change the date in Armenia. So January 6th has remained the date in the Armenian Church, for the Armenian. Sometimes there's a misnomer, it's called Armenian Christmas. It's not really Armenian Christmas, it's the real name of it is Theophany, Astvazahaydnutyun, the revelation of God. And this is a very special feast. It's coming up in a few days. But as you know, here in the tradition that we've made in Armodoxy, is the revelation of God shouldn't be limited to one day. Actually, each of us becomes ambassadors of God. Each of us are called to be that Bethlehem, the late Karakin the First, Catholicos of the Armenian Church between 1995 and 1999. He made a very good reference in talking about Etchmiadzin being the new Bethlehem, being the place from which Christ is born. And certainly if you extend that a bit farther, each of us has a responsibility to be that Christmas center where Christ is born in our lives every day, where we are the representatives and we are expanding the idea that love is being now born, that love is being revealed. Astvazahaydnutyun. Well, just do the math, right? St. John says that God is love. So when we say God is revealed, can we say love is revealed? Well, of course we can. St. Nerse Shnorhali gives us the primer. He gives us the key. He says, Seranun Jesus. He says, the name of love is Jesus. So you want to refer to love, you refer to it as Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus, you're talking about love. What is being born on Christmas? But love. The opportunity for us to love, to be able to extend ourselves. So our homes, our most private and most emotional center of our being, our souls, our hearts, are the new Bethlehems from which Christ is born. I don't want to go too far, right? I know. This is kind of like people get like, they go, whoa, hold on. Yeah, this is what I firmly believe, and I know from my studies, that the Armenian Orthodox Church truly believes. Now, you say, well, I haven't heard that before. Yeah, you haven't. Until you go and you start looking at the theology, and you find the theology in the Sharagans, you find it in the Badarak that we have, the Sharagans being the hymns, the Badarak being the divine liturgy that is celebrated every Sunday. And there's one incredible portion that I cannot escape. As much as you want to look at everything else, St. Gregory the Illuminator, when he received the Nicene Creed in Armenia, okay, the Council of Nicaea, the same emperor, Constantine, who changed the date of Christmas to December 25th, that same emperor had convened a council in Nicaea, and they developed the creed of the Armenian people, and when that of the Christian church. We believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, light of light, true light of true light. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the one universal Catholic Church, right? And when that document, when that came to Armenia, St. Gregory the Illuminator, he basically put his stamp on it. And every Sunday after we read the Havadamk, the creed of the Armenian Church, The priest says what St. Gregory said, the prayer of St. Gregory. Iskmek paravoresukvor harachkanas avidyanas. In other words, we shall glorify that which came from the beginning. And certainly when you talk about beginning, you're not talking about Jesus being born in a manger 2,000 years ago. No, you're talking about the beginning. Nachkanas havidyanas, before all time. And at that point, yes, Christ, the Trinity, God, love was there. That's what we celebrate. And that celebration is not limited to December 25th. It's all year long. And it's on January 6th. But it's also on January 7th and the 8th, 9th, 10th. It's actually in August. It takes place in July. It takes place in September. It takes place, believe it or not, in April. It takes place in May. Yes, 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 yes. October, November, December. Did I miss anything? June and July and February and March. Okay, did I get all of them in there? And April too. In other words, every single day, the Christian has a responsibility to celebrate Christmas, to make the love of God in our lives real so that we're reaching out to people and helping people and loving. This is what the Christian message was given to us when Christ says, by this they will know that you are my disciples, the way you love people, the way I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? He put out his arms and he reached out and he says, okay, this is it. I'm sacrificing myself. I'm giving myself for the world. It's a big order. But, you know, we got to start someplace. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk about a tragedy that took place. And we've been talking here in the United States for the past week. There's been a conversation. And unfortunately, it is driven by these kind of tragedies. It sparks up. I've lived long enough to know that there's going to come a time when people will forget about these tragedies. But at least for right now, we have a responsibility to talk about it. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. Today is the winter solstice. Today begins a new sun, a new life. The days get longer for us over here. Yes, those of you down south, I know the days are getting shorter starting today, but that's okay. It's part of the cycle, right? Today, if you look up, you see the seven sisters. Did you hear in the early Tull song a few minutes ago? He says, seven maids moving seven times. Hey, take a look up at the seven sisters of Pleiades, and you will see them dancing in the sky. It is a dance that we all celebrate. It's the celebrate of new beginnings, a celebration of new life, of warmer days, of new light, of the celebration of the sun, S-U-N, who represents something far greater, the celebration of the sun, S-O-N. Merry Christmas! Happy winter solstice, and all the best to you. We're going to take a break right now. Here is the song of the day. Enjoy. We'll be back in a few minutes to continue with the next step.
Dumi Agnes, Volkar Oves, Polar Intervale. Ën ha pasaj, ën ha tujtse, sa e zbajande. Kujt në rëndës ke, sa vat quni, kujnë e i hëndep. Kujt në rëndës ke, zi mas quni, kujt ha vatites. Du e skiz në vahqanë, ku ban nërkes më. Du es, gizmo vachan, kuban nerkez
Hey, well, what did you expect? Did you think I'd look somewhere else for a Christmas gift? No, that is Gor Mkhitaryan, the unique voice, one of a kind voice and musical talent of Gor Mkhitaryan. That is a song called The Light, appropriate for today as we celebrate our journey around the sun and this winter solstice or this summer solstice, depending on where you are. The light, of course, one of the things that the sun gives us, right, along with the heat, and that light is an important one. And certainly the light is an important one given to us by God. The idea that we don't have to live in darkness, but have this opportunity to see the clearness and beauty of all of life. That is off of his Godfather album. And those of you who are Gor aficionados, or should we say musical aficionados, know that Gor did a re-performance of that. He redid that song on the Spirit album. And I'm very proud to be part of that Spirit album. In fact, you can find it on In His Shoes. Susie, what do you say? Should we do it? Yeah, okay. Susie gave me the thumbs up. Yes, we've done that for the last couple of years around Christmas time. Any small donation to In His Shoes or Apostle, you want to send it our way, we'd be happy to ship out a Spirit album, and that is one of the songs on there. So you might want to check that out. That's on our website, or just drop us a line. Anyway, this was not supposed to be a shameless little plug over here for a commercial. It was just to let you know that we love Gor's music, and it's so beautiful that he's a part of this ministry in so many ways that we're able to share it, especially during this Christmas time. The Light, Gor Mkhitaryan. There will be a link on our show notes to Gor and all of his wonderful music. Just before I came into the studio today, we delivered a bunch of toys, actually almost close to 600. We were at 500 last night. We got another 100 this morning. And these toys go out to the children who are children of domestic violence cases. Recently, this past year, our In His Shoes Ministries has expanded to a new outreach program called the Datev Outreach. Datev being a very famous saint within the Armenian Church, but also a play on the words. Datev, the actual word itself, means to give wings, to give hands. And it is our intention to be able to provide those wings to people that are suffering from domestic violence and to address this alarming situation. We took out these toys. We give them every year in the name of a young lady, very dear lady to us here in the Glendale area. She was killed because of domestic violence. Her name was Yvette Hagopian. We collect the toys in her name. And if you go to our website, I believe it's inhisshoes.org/Yvette. But I could be wrong. There's a small little introduction to the work that we're doing over here in her name. And that website is also part of the... It should be changing, actually, in the next couple days because of the toys that we delivered this morning. Now, I say all this as a preface for what I want to speak about, and that is not only domestic violence, but violence in general. Last Thursday, we finished our podcast, never imagining what was about to happen. And it was Friday morning that we all woke up with the news of this, I don't know, you can't say tragedy, it's beyond tragedy. It's unbelievable what happened, that a man goes into a school and he starts shooting children 5-6 years old. And it has been... As difficult as that situation has been to watch unfolding, it has been equally as difficult for people to make sense out of their own lives. Yes, you can't make sense out of that, but to start questioning their own lives in the sense that, okay, you know, you give your life, you have your children, it was like maybe about A couple hours after the news had gotten out, I got a call from a distressed mother, and she was so sincere. She called me and she said, "All I want to do is go to the school and pick up my kids and hug them." And you tell me, how many of you thought the same? I mean, as it's unfolding, you can't get your mind off of your kids. And you want to just get over there and tell your kids that, hey, you know, I love you. I'm with you. You're not alone. It's unimaginable. And yet, it happened. And so now it's a reality. Like it or not, you're accepting it. It's a reality of life. Shooting. The shooting of innocence. This week I received an unusual amount of email. I received calls. Sunday at church, at the Divine Liturgy, an unusual amount of people. Just people, and you could see in their face, because I addressed it in my sermon, the shooting. And people just looking at you like, you know, thank you, give us an answer, give us something. People are looking for answer. A young man approached me, father of two, and he says, "How do you make sense out of this?" To which there was only one answer I could give. You don't. It's senseless. You have to admit that there in time, not everything has sense to it. It's senseless. It's tragic. And then there's the usual amount of talk and emails, you know, people sending around emails like, "Well, we took God out of the school and now what do you expect?" We start talking about gun control. As if, you know, taking guns out of the hands of people, like they're not going to figure out, like, where to get guns from. And nobody on the national or on the large level or on the universal level is talking about some of the fundamental ideas of respect, of love, of compassion, which is completely missing from our daily experience. And you tell me, where is that supposed to come from? Well, you start talking about morals and people have a difficulty with that, about values. But aren't there certain values that go beyond, like, let's say, religious denominations? I was very amazed. You know, they had an interfaith service in Connecticut a couple days afterwards, and President Obama was there. And I'm listening to these different people pray and reflect. And each of them were clergy, they were clergymen from different denominations, different traditions. You had Christians, you had Jews, you had Muslims, there was a man from the Baha'i faith, different denominations of Christianity, different faiths, different backgrounds. And what's interesting is that everybody is able to talk about their prophet, their holy person, except the Christian. For some reason, Jesus was absent from that dialogue. Yeah, you heard it every so often, but it was never like, hey, Jesus said, do not pick up weapons. Jesus talked about forgiveness. He talked about love. I love you. I care about you. I want you to love. Nobody's talking in these terms. It was really remarkable. We're talking about old ancient traditions and this and this and this and this. Until finally President Obama got up. And President Obama spoke about Christ. He said that Jesus said, "Come to me, the little children." And he went on to name the little children. To such belong the kingdom of heaven. And it was just so beautiful. It was very touching for me at that moment. Words, merely words, I don't want to be the judge of that. All I know is that at times like this, at times where we need healing, we need to plug in to the one source of healing. Now, what happened at that school? 20 young children were killed. 6 adults were killed, including then the gunman taking his own life. So at the end of all the carnages, 27 people, 27 lives lost. And we stop as a country, we stop as civilization, and we say, how could this happen? And yet, all around us, we're inundated with stories of death, of killing. Now, here's the difference. Some of it is legal. We don't want to talk about that, do we? But it's sad and it's true. This was Friday that this took place in, what is it, Sandy Hook. It's a town, an area in Connecticut, one of the states in the United States. Monday, I believe it was, I was driving, and all of a sudden I'm listening to the news, and what do I hear on the news? A blast kills 10 girls in eastern Afghanistan. Car bomber targets Kabul. I just popped it up on the screen right now. Here's what it said. A suicide bomber driving a car packed with explosive targeted the compound of a private military contractor on the eastern outskirts of Kabul on Monday, killing at least one person and injuring at least 15 others, including foreigners. In the separate episode, 10 girls were killed in a rural district of eastern Afghanistan on Monday when a roadside bomb exploded while they were collecting firewood. Now, who are these 10 girls? Aren't they children of mothers and fathers? And yet, there is no discussion about them, is there? We hear about in Palestine, a couple weeks ago, 300. Yeah, these are numbers. 300 Palestinians killed. Okay. Now, who are those 300? Aren't they children of a father and a mother? Aren't there children in that group? Kids now. You see, somehow we become selective in the way that we look at our world. And this is something that we as Christians, we need to wake up the rest of the world to. That you can't be selective. That for God, everyone is his child. For God, all wars are civil wars. All killings are killings within brother and sister. Because we're all each other's brothers and sisters. And this kind of conversation needs to come up from the Christian community. Instead, we're still sitting around talking about, let's have gun control over here. Yes, we need gun control. Yes, you can't give these powerful weapons and just send them out. But that's not going to stop it, is it? You're talking about on Christmas morning looking up in the sky and seeing a light flashing, right? The Star of Bethlehem. And what was the message that came to the shepherds? Joy to the world. Why? There will be peace on earth. Well, how is that peace going to start? Well, with the love that we have in our hearts. I mean, Jesus was born and because of his birth, the killing of the innocents, right? The innocents, were all these kids were killed. Now you could look at it and say, well, this happened because Jesus was born. No, it's people killing people, because we have to say that my brand is better than your brand. And until we can get these brands out, we're not going to have that peace. But this is where we need to start directing our focus. This is what we need to talk about. We need to talk about this brandless life. What John Lennon called, imagine there is no religion. Imagine there is no country. Well, of course. If you don't have those boundaries, you realize that we're all brothers and sisters. We all live in this world. And this is not just some idealistic world, dream. But this is the ideals that Jesus put out. When St. Paul says there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither free nor slave, there is neither male nor female. In other words, we are all one in Christ Jesus. What are we talking about? That God invented us. God created us. And each one of us has a uniqueness. And we are adapting to our environment. So one has a darker skin than the other. One's eye shape is different than another. But deep down, what do we got in our system? We've got blood going through our system. And we've got all the same organs. And most importantly, we have a soul. We've been touched by God. And so the Christian now is invited to a higher understanding, the understanding of understanding ourselves within the context of this universal idea of God. This is why earlier when I was talking about St. Gregory's endorsement of the Nicene Creed, as for us, we shall glorify that which is from the beginning of all time. We get confined. I mean, what are these separations that we have? Right, we're talking about last few hundred years. Let's even say last couple thousand years. that we define ourselves. And we go out and we kill people. We go on crusades killing people because of boundaries, because of man-instituted ideas, instead of understanding that, hey, we've got to get along together in this world. Now you say, okay, well, that's good because you're a Christian and you can say that, but does everybody buy into that? Does the Muslim buy into that? Does the Jew buy into that? Or even further than that, okay, you're talking about Armenian Orthodox tradition, but what about the Protestants? What about the Catholics? What about everybody? Well, here's the challenge then for us. Yes, I'm an idealist. I'm a dreamer. I spoke about the dream last week, and it got me in some trouble, by the way. But beyond the dream, there is a reality. That if we're going to be talking with these words, if we're going to be saying peace on earth, we better mean something. You can't just be talking about Jesus being love. You can't be talking about Christian identity without talking about your expression to go out there and do something. I'm sick and tired of it. And I know you are too. I know people are too. This is why nobody takes Christianity seriously. This is why when the entire ecumenical service takes place, the interfaith service takes place, nobody wants to talk about Jesus because they're scared. Because it's always been this idealistic kind of thing. Oh, Jesus loves you. Okay, Jesus loves you. What does that mean? It means I have to love others. Jesus forgives me. Well, what does that mean? It means I have to forgive others. I get emails every single day with people. You go on Facebook, look at some of the sites that people put up. Jesus, I love you. Jesus says, okay, we love Jesus too. But what does that mean? Aren't we responsible to go beyond the words? That's a question. Aren't we responsible for our words and to translate those words into action? And we're sitting here at Christmas time and we're so worried about the words that we use. Happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Oh no, I don't say happy holidays. I say Merry Christmas. Well, what good is that? If your life isn't a Merry Christmas, if Christ isn't coming out of your life, if the love that Christ shared isn't a part of your life. The Christmas message is about God taking form. The Christmas message is about the revelation of God. What is that revelation but love? And if we're not acting on that love, all the words that we talk about, I could sit here and give you the sermon of a lifetime, right? You've heard sermons of the lifetime, but if they're not backed with love, what good are they? And this is not just a debate about actions and words and everything. This is just like Susie says at the beginning of each show, you don't have to check your brain in at the door. This is not a mindless religion. Oh, Jesus loves me, so I'm okay. But all of you are going to hell. You can't say that kind of stuff. What kind of God is that? What kind of Lord is that? Oh, you give my name and I'll guarantee you a spot in heaven. And by the way, all of you who don't give a name, oh, you're going to hell. I created you, but I'm sending you all to hell. Isn't that what happens in Toy Story? This is our immature idea of what God is all about. Right, the Toy Story idea. Remember the little boy next door? He'd have the little toys and then he'd put them and he'd torture them and he'd put the magnifying glass and put the sun and burn their eyes out. Yeah, that's the kind of God we have, right? Well, this is what they have you believing. You don't say his name, you go to hell. No. Jesus said it very clearly. He said, the people who are my children, that are my brothers and sisters, are the people who hear the word of God and do it. There's an action involved in it. He said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, not everybody who comes to me will be part of my select. He says, because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. There it is, just a simple, simple little equation. Let's forget about everything else except this one little phrase right now. I was hungry. Did we get food out to the starving people? Did we send out some food to people who were hungry tonight? Jesus said, when you do it to them, you do it to me. It's the Christian response. Christians have a responsibility. Responsibility implies responding. Christmas is God interacting with us, saying that He's coming and He's going to show us how to live. He comes, and He comes in the most humble of all situations, in a stable, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, and He says, "This is it. Humble yourself, and you will be the greatest." You're worried about those things, about that greatness? What you need to do is, first of all, humble yourself. And I'm showing you. I'm not only talking about it, He says. I'm showing you. And so He's not born in 2012 in a hospital that has all of the extra frills. He's not, Mother Mary didn't get the epidural, didn't get all these kind of special treatments. No, she had pains. He was born in a manger, and it wasn't a germ-free environment. In fact, just the opposite. There was all kinds of animals over there. He was born in this situation, Christmas. And He was revealed as love. And throughout His life, we see every step of the way, from His baptism to every step of the ministry to His crucifixion to His resurrection, His ascension, is one of life, one of sacrifice, one of giving, one of sharing, one of love. And this is the challenge before us as Christians. It's a challenge that we need to rise to and not just take lightly. I'm tired of the lightness of Christianity. We want people to take Christ seriously. We have to take it seriously. And we're not. It's not enough to just go out there and say, "Jesus loves me. Jesus cares about me." That's beautiful. It's a beautiful testimony. But you need to care about others. You need to extend yourself to others. Right now we're talking about what happened in Sandy Hook in a shooting situation. I guarantee you in a few weeks it'll be forgotten. We'll be talking about other things. Every single day there are children that are dying. Every single day that there's injustice that takes place in this world. Every single day there are wars. There are kids that are being blown up. And those too are children of God. Those too demand our attention and our discussion to put an end to that violence. And it begins with each of us accepting our responsibility to walk in the shoes of others, to feel their pain, understanding their pain, and extending ourselves to love. That's what Jesus did. He came down on Christmas morning. He put on our shoes to understand the pain of humanity, and He walked with us. He walked in His shoes, in the shoes of others, understanding, respecting each other, and then at the end of it, to sacrifice, to be able to answer that feeling of pain with the greatest feeling of all, with the greatest answer possible, the answer of love. Answering hatred, answering evil with the power of love. Merry Christmas. That's how we answer Sandy Hook. That's how we answer violence, by saying love is real. I'd love to hear from you. In fact, what I've been doing lately is a lot of people who've been writing to me about Sandy Hook, about the shooting. I've been collecting their emails. And of course, you'll hear from me if you've sent me something, because I want your permission. And I'm putting it all together, and I want to send it to Sandy Hook. I want to send it out there to Connecticut, to the people. If you'd like to drop me a line, I'd be happy to include it in there. It'll go with a small little introduction of what the Armenian experience has been, because we've been on the other end of it, right? We've been killed, we've been persecuted, we've been shot at point blank range. We know what it's like. You see, because everything that I said today is accented even further, because 1915 happened and there was a genocide. And so we know what it's like, first of all, that people who responded to us, that extended a hand to us, most of the Middle East, in fact, the diaspora, all of the people in the Middle East who opened up their doors, the kindness that was shown to us. Now we have an obligation to give back, to walk in the shoes of others. If you want to drop me a line, I'd be happy to include it with the other messages and, of course, with a small little writing that I add to it. And you can drop it at feedback@epostle.net. I'm going to take a little break right now. Let Susie explain what we're doing over here if this is one of your first times listening to us. I'll be back in a few seconds and want to just share some final thoughts and we'll be out of here, okay?
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vodskin, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vodskin.
Thank you, Susie, for that beautiful reminder. And thank you, all of you, for your prayers, your support, especially throughout the year. Next week, when I finish up the year, it'll give us a time to reflect a little bit about what's been going on throughout the year. So many people I want to thank, and I hope you'll join me next week when we do a end of the year kind of roundup of what this ministry is all about and where we're headed. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for supporting and ask for your prayers, especially during Christmas time. As we remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we remember that there's a means by which that message gets out. And certainly Epostle is that apostle for the electronic age. It's an opportunity for us to get the word out. And we're looking for different ways of expanding and doing this ministry, but it all begins with your prayers. Please keep us in your prayers. Listen, this last portion of today's podcast, I had something, well, it was kind of mean-spirited because something very difficult happened in my life. I'm going to wait and share that with you next week. Mean-spirited? Did I mean that? Yes, I did. It's a kind of a difficult topic to talk about. I'm going to leave it as a teaser for next week. Listen, I know it is Christmas coming up in a couple days. Remember what I said. It doesn't matter what day you celebrate. What's important is every day becomes an opportunity for you to make Christ's birth, the revelation of God, real in your life by spreading the love, by being an ambassador of the light, by being that light yourself. Remember, Jesus is the only person who turned it around, who took the words of condemnation when we were told, take and eat, and we saw that we were condemned to a life of servitude to evil. Jesus turned that around and he said, take and eat, and he gave us salvation. He's the only one that took the same words that he said about himself. I am the light of the world. He who lives in the light shall never experience the darkness. He turned that around and he said, you are the light of the world. A candle, you don't take the candle and put it underneath the table. No, you put it on a lampstand. You put it on a candlestick and let it light up the whole room. Let your light shine. You have the light inside of you. God is within you. Let your light shine. Let it shine so that people who are living in darkness can see the goodness and give glory and praise to God, which is a glory and praise to love, the Creator. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Merry Christmas. Christ is born. In a manger, in a stable, in your church, in your home, in your heart, in an inn, outside of an inn. He's born all around us. Where love is present, Jesus is present. Well, before leaving you today, I want to just invite you to get involved with us throughout the week. You know, we are at epostle.net. That's apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. And of course, at the mothership, inissues.org, where you'll read about all the wonderful things that are taking place Christmas season and throughout the year. Inhisshoes.org. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I'm going to leave you with a special song today. A little gift, a Christmas song for you. For Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our wingman. For Anush's pomegranates, and she's away being a new grandma. Congratulations to her and Ned. For Linda, our compass lady. And of course, for all the wonderful people at St. Peter Armenian Church. We'll be talking about that next week. And for my dear wife, Susan, her partnership in this ministry. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take a year-end book, and the next step.
You'd do well to remember the things he later said. When you're stuffing yourselves at the Christmas parties, you'll just laugh when I tell you to take a does not need making. That Christmas spirit is not what you drink. So how can you laugh when your own mother's reasons for smiling wrong? And if I've just messed up your thoughtless pleasures, remember if you wish, this is just a Christmas song.
Santa, pass us that bottle, will you?
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.